God, it feels even harder now to date and to find a life partner. And I was just feeling so much resistance.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, it's a party of one. Is there a difference between solitude and loneliness? That's an essential question in the new book, Party of One, Be Your Own Best Life Partner, from NPR's Megan Kane. The longtime producer and creator of NPR's Life Kit uses her experience being surprised not to have found a life partner by 30 as a way to explore self-care, building connections, and confronting difficult emotions. Megan Kane, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So I take it the pandemic experience put some things in perspective for you, as it did for most of us. So what happened?
Yeah, right before the pandemic, I had experienced two shorter relationships that felt very significant to me, but they were relationships where I was putting way too much of my self-worth on the line. And as a result, I wasn't asking really critical questions about, were we actually compatible? How did we want our lives to look? Do we have the same values, actually? And when those people dumped me, I felt pretty bad, right? It feels bad to be dumped. And then by the time the pandemic rolled around, I was thinking, God, it feels even harder now to date and to find a life partner. And I was just feeling so much resistance about being single. But I knew it was an awesome thing to be. I had plenty of people in my life who are single, and I knew I had a great life in front of me. So I wanted to start enjoying that life that was in front of me in the moment and not have to, you know, feel like I was waiting for something to happen, that I could be really happy and fulfilled no matter what my relationship status was.
Did that pressure feel internal or external or some combination of both?
Definitely a combination of both, right? So the internal pressure, I think, came from just, you know, me being a real type A person who thought, okay, I'm going to hit all these milestones, right? It's going to be easy. I'm going to make this look, you know, so smooth. I got this amazing job. I have a cool apartment. I'm going to make everything, you know, I have great friends in my life. So, quote unquote, the only thing that's missing, right, is the relationship. So I put this unfair pressure on myself, partly because, you know, like you said, the external pressure it wasn't even that like I was experiencing people directly in my life saying you need to be partnered, but even the implicit messaging, right, from movies, from music, from people just, you know, saying how amazing their life was now that they had a partner, right? Even just like these kind of subtle messages were kind of seeping into my brain and making me think, God, I really feel like I'm quote unquote missing out on something. So it was a little bit of a mix, I would say.
So forgive me for maybe projecting a little bit, but one thing
project away.
I'm always interested in is for people who are professionally successful is the role of work in their life. Uh-huh. And, you know, a lot of us can overemphasize the emotional importance of work to a fault. So what's your view of that dynamic?
Yeah, there's kind of a trope in romantic comedies where it's literally the woman journalist who cares too much about her job, right, and doesn't have time to date, right? I felt that.
The guy in the basketball shorts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I feel that where, you know, I think a lot of people like myself feel very capable at their jobs and they know how to navigate that part of their lives with ease. And then all of a sudden you take out the things you can control, which is when you're in relationship with other people and the idea of meeting someone to have a long life with and partnership with is really a lot of times just out of your hands, right? It's a lot of luck and timing. And so I was trying to apply a lot of the same rigor to my professional life as I was into my dating life. And I wasn't getting the results because it's just not how it works. So, yes, I think I was putting a lot of, you know, emphasis on my self-worth, both in my job and my relationship, because I thought, okay, well, I'm doing so well in my career. Why isn't this happening in this other arena of my life?
Maybe you can help with this, but like with self-improvement or kind of working on a goal, how do you know when you are being successful at reaching that? Because, I mean, eventually all of us are alone with our thoughts and, yep. You know, that's you never know when you're done.
Well, the good news is you're never quite done, right? It's a good news, bad news thing, right? So in the book, I talk with this therapist and psychologist, Dr. Pooja Lakshman, who wrote Real Self-Care. And she kind of opened my eyes to this idea of looking at the values underneath a goal, right? And so it might feel like, oh, my goal is to feel totally happy with being single, right? And that's really hard because then it's, like you said, it's like, when's the finish line for that? But if my value is to feel like, okay, I am I'm not even happy with my life, but I really value connection, right? Did I connect with a friend today? Did I, you know, call my mom? Did I set up a time to meet some girlfriends later in the week? Like, okay, I stepped into that value and today, and I can feel good about that. So I think thinking about how to think about your singleness or relationship with yourself, it's more helpful and flexible to think about, okay, did I step into my values today, rather than have I finally achieved, you know, perfect zen about you know, my relationship with myself? Because that's a hard one to answer.
So I'm glad you brought up friendship, because the importance of friendship is a big part of this book. And it occurs to me, you know, it's a time when like so much of our interaction, even with close friends, is mediated in a way through like text or whatever meme video you're sending them that day. What's a better way to do this?
Yeah, I mean, look, those like casual quick texts of, you know, TikToks and funny links are, you know, they serve a purpose. But something that I'm really invested in right now is the spontaneous quick hangout, because I think all of us are pretty frustrated with saying, hey, we should get together. And then you look at your calendar and it's like suddenly something only 3 months in advance is going to be doable, quote unquote. So what I've started to do is, you know, just reach out to a friend, be like, hey, I'm doing errands. Do you just want to tag along? Hey, I'm in your neighborhood. I'm on a walk. Like, you know, come downstairs if you can. And just making these kind of like low stake, quick moments where even if they can't hang out in that exact second, I think it creates this virtuous circle where people are more likely to do that quick reach out. Because so often all of our friendships have become these sessions where we're just recounting what happened to us in the last month or whenever the last time you saw them. And that's not very fun necessarily. It can be to, you know, you want to know what's going on in our friends' lives, but it's more fun, I think, to create memories with them, even if you're just, you know, going to Target.
Do you think this project has changed your own outlook in any way?
Yeah, I really now see the options, or breadth of options rather, for how life can look, right? And, you know, even though partnership is something I, you know, really like and desire, I like to think that, you know, even if it doesn't happen or falls apart or whatever it might be, that I can still feel really good about my life. And it feels less of a do or die kind of, you have to be in a relationship situation now. And that just feels a lot more peaceful to me.
I want to quickly ask you about the financial aspect of all of this, because that's a big concern for people as they're figuring out, you know, should I stay with this person, or maybe I signed a lease with this person, or am I giving up some of my independence? What role do you think that plays in the kind of, you know, self-actualization you're talking about?
You're totally right. There was a study, I believe it was, I researched in my book about how like some people just stay in relationships far longer than they want to because of the financial aspect, because they've become accustomed to sharing bills. And being single can be a lot more expensive, right? And so I think what it takes is a lot of intention for single people, right? Like, it is unfair, right? Like, a lot of housing discrimination happens as a result of being single. You are paying higher insurance premiums in a lot of cases. So it is unfair. But you can still plan for things. I talked to a financial expert in the book who really advocated for people, single people, making sure they get their investments together, right? Thinking about retirement, making a will for themselves, getting those in order, because you're right, it does get expensive and it is all on you. And while that is unfair, it's better to take care of these things than to wait for someone to do it. And I've heard of people who have been in relationships where even if they quote unquote, you know, did wait to, you know, get married and then do all these kind of types of financial discussions and paperwork, that sometimes the part partner kept something for them, right? Like financial infidelity is a phrase you hear a lot on social media now that, you know, it's not always perfect, even when you have that partner who can help you share those finances. So I'm a really big advocate of taking a hard look at your finances and thinking about what works for you and start planning for yourself, because you get to be in control of that.
We've been speaking with NPR's Megan Kane of Life Kit. The name of her new book is Party of One, Be Your Own Best Life Partner. And I hope you get a lot of book royalties to keep for yourself.
Thank you, Ian. I do too.
Thanks, Megan. That was great.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.